And you know, Paul wrote, as Brother Gary mentioned this morning in our Sunday school lesson, they only had the Old Testament, and when you read the scriptures, that's what you read. But I was thinking about that earlier in the week, and there was enough Old Testament scriptures about Jesus. You know, people say, where do you find Jesus in the Old Testament? Well, you open it up and read it, start with. That'd be a good way to find it. But I'm telling you something, he's everywhere. And you can't find any place, just about, I'm going to say every book and most chapters, you'll find something. And that won't have Jesus' name on it. It's not like that, but it'll refer to him. Just like Genesis chapter number 3 in the 15th verse, God told the devil, the woman's going to have a seed and you'll bruise his heel and he'll bruise your head. That's talking about Jesus in the 3rd chapter of the book of the whole Bible. And it's just like that all the way through. It's salted with Christ. And so the Word of God is precious. And I tell you, I love it. I appreciate those that wrote it. And there's been a lot of people that have sacrificed just so we could have it. Brother Gary mentioned Wycliffe this morning, I think. And, you know, he was a man that I think he had an interpretation of the Bible in one language. I can't remember what it was now. Might have been in English. But anyway, after he died, the people hated him so bad that when Wycliffe died, they dug him up 50 years later. And burned his bones. They hated that man for the gospel. And if it hadn't been for him and people like him, we wouldn't have the gospel. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse number 1. And I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as of from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there first come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, Father, this morning for the good, sweet spirit we felt since we walked in this building. God, I just thank you for your presence in our church and our lives. God, I ask you, Father, today just to anoint the preaching. God, I ask you to touch every heart in this building this morning. God, help us to realize that, Lord, there's something that we all can do. Lord, I ask you just to be with us and help me, Father, to do what I need to do. And God, give me the wisdom and the knowledge to do it. Just be with us now today. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring the message this morning from verse number 3, falling away. And Paul said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And I want to bring the message from that day can't come except there come a falling away. And there is a falling away. And I think it worth mentioning that I realize that the apostle here is talking to the Jewish bunch of people, and that when he talks about that day, he's talking about the day of the coming of the Lord. And that sometimes we as Christian people, we refer to the rapture of the church as the coming of the Lord. And that's not exactly accurate. The coming of the Lord will be in the day when he comes and stands on the Mount of Olives. That's the day that the Bible talks about as the coming of the Lord. The day of the rapture is the appearing of the Lord. And there is a difference that at the appearing, Jesus will step out on the clouds of glory and call the church home, but he doesn't actually come to earth. And a lot of people, there's a lot of religions and denominations that say he'll never come to earth. Well, they can believe that if they want to. Everybody's got a right to be wrong. But I've read the Bible, I've studied, and I've heard other people that are a lot wiser than I am. And everything that I can gather, the Bible says that Jesus one day will come and set up a kingdom here in this world. And those that mostly that don't believe it, they're ones that reads the Christmas story every year at Christmas time. They do plays and programs from that the book of Luke there, and the Bible tells us about the birth of Christ, and then it gets down there in one verse and says he will come and sit on his father David's throne. Now, I want to tell you something. He never got near a throne when he was here before. And where is David's throne? It's not in heaven. So if he's going to sit on the throne, that tells me that one thing right there ensures me that he has to come back here, because this is where it's happening at. But that's not the message this morning. The falling away is starting before the rapture of the church. And we're living in that time. I believe that that's one of the signs that Jesus gave that we can look at and look for, that that is preceding his appearing in the clouds of glory as well. I believe that when Jesus comes in the clouds and the church is taken home, and I've heard people argue and discuss about the Spirit of God, but I believe when the church is called out, I believe the Spirit will also go back to heaven. Now you can disagree with that if you want to. Doesn't bother me at all. But I think that when the church is gone and the Spirit of God is gone, then I can see where there will be a big falling away at that point in time, because there won't be anything to help anybody not to fall away. But the church this morning is going through a drastic time. We're going through a terrible time. I know I've preached on this the last few services, seemed like, but it's just something that is on my heart, and it troubles me to see things the way they are, knowing the way things used to be. But the church is going through a time of the falling away. And I used to preach this, and I've heard preachers preach this, and they preach it that people fall away and get away from church, and certainly that happens. I'm certain of that. But I'm this morning I'm thinking about those that fall away and stay with the church. You can fall away and not necessarily get out of church. I believe that today. And the Bible said that that day can't come except there first come a falling away. You know why people are not being saved today? Because the church is falling away. The church as a whole has fallen away. The things that that we used to hear, and the things we used to see, and the lives that we used to be able to watch, and people that we used to be able to say, I want to be like them. Sometimes you can't be like them anymore, because they're not like they used to be. And I want to ask you a question this morning, and I don't want a show of hands, but I just want to ask you today to, in your own life, life, are you as close to God this year as you were last year? Take it a year. Are you as close to God as you were 10 years ago? How's your fellowship with God compared how it was in the past? And if you say, "Oh, preacher, I'm not exactly where I was then," then I want to tell you something. You have fallen away. You say, "Well, I go to church every time the door's open." You can do that and still be falling away. It's not necessarily walking off from church and from God, but sometimes it's just a simple thing as we don't pray as much as we used to. We don't read the Bible as much as we used to. We don't witness as much as we used to. We don't hand out Bible tracts as much as we used to. And all the little things, you say, "Well, preacher, that's just small things." But Solomon said the small things is what's spoiling the vines. It's the little things that makes a big thing that causes a lot of destruction. And so the falling away can come from within the church, from folk that are still in the church. You may be a preacher. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be a lay member. You may be some other position in the church. And you may be active in your position in the church. But how is your spirit toward God? That's the falling away isn't coming so much bodily as it is spiritually and in our minds this morning. Paul said in 1 Corinthians and chapter number 6 and verse 9, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Jesus has gone away, as he said in the 14th chapter of John, to prepare a place for you. And he's gone to make a place for the righteous and holy. And if everybody was going, then we might as well stay here, because we've already got a mess and chaos. But Paul said the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That tells me that the sinners are not going, even though they say they are. 90% of the people in the world, or especially in the United States, will tell you that they're saved and on their way to heaven. But I think about 10% is probably a more accurate number that's going. Where do you get your numbers, preacher? Well, Jesus healed 10 lepers and 9 of them just run off and forgot about him. And only one turned around and gave him thanks. He said, "Where's the other 9? That was 10%, was it not? Listen, there's so many places in the Bible where that Jesus did things and people just run off and just forget about it. And that's what a lot of folks are doing today. But Paul said the righteous or the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on in the latter part of that verse, and he said, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Now listen, here's a list of folks that Paul said is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He didn't say these people might inherit the kingdom. He didn't say there's a possibility they would. He said they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to his list. And it's a small list, really. He said the fornicators not going to be there. And I think we all know what fornicators is. I don't have to get into a sex education class here this morning. And then he said idolaters. I hear a lot of people pronounce that word idolaters. Now, I don't even know what an idolater would be, but I know what an idolater is. It's somebody that puts something else between them and God. And you say, "Preacher, I don't have any idols." A lot of people got bank accounts for idols. A lot of people got vehicles for idols. A lot of people, especially on a day like this, they might have their motorboat for an idol. There's a lot of people got a lot of things that stand between them and worshiping and serving God. And I'm talking about folks that just puts anything in their life before God. That's an idolater. He said, "I ain't going." And then he said, "Nor adulterers." Now, adulterer and a fornicator, that runs down the same line, but it's on a different track. Yeah. And I don't even have to, I could preach a whole message on those two things. But listen, he said the adulterer is not going. You know, there's so many women out here, young ladies, and they're having given birth to children. They've not been married. They got no intentions of being married. And a lot of children today, it's sad to say, I say the vast majority of children growing up in the world today don't even know who their daddy is. And that's a shame. But you see, that's fornication. And then when things like this happen, then the Christian family steps up and pats them on the back and says, well, you're okay. Everybody's doing it. And everything will be all right. Listen, I want to tell you something. If you do that to your children, you might as well just give them a go to hell free card, because that's where they're headed. Paul said the fornicator is not going. The adulterer is not going. The idolater is not going. The effeminate, he said, and that effeminate, that word means to a man that is weak or womanish. And they, and I know some of those people, they a good hard day's work would kill them dead in the doornail. I mean, they just so soft and so sissified, and they just don't stand up and be a man. Well, it ain't no wonder that we've got so many of those in the world today, because like I said, most of the children don't know who their father is, and they're being raised sometimes by a mother, sometimes by two women in the same house raising these male children. And when they grow up, what are they going to act like? They only know one thing, and that's what a woman does. So they grow up effeminate. And Paul said these people are not going. And he said the abusers of themselves with mankind, they're not going to be there. And he said the thief ain't going. You say, well, I just stole a little bit of stuff. Listen, if you didn't get saved since you was a thief, you're still a thief, and you're still dying and going to hell. He said the thieves are not going. And he said the covetous. Man, I'm gonna tell you, that covers a lot of ground right there. I've known people in my life. We had some folks one time that went to church with us, and we spent a little bit of time with them and got to know them. And they would come to our house. Sometime we'd go to their house, and we was pretty good friends. And then one day I realized these folks, they sued this person, they sued that person, they sued this person over here. I told Miss Carol, I said, don't invite them back here. They'll sue us next. Listen, these people, they're sitting around wondering who they're going to sue next. You know why? Because they want money. You know why? Because it's easier to sue somebody and get money than it is to work for it. And they're covetous people. And you remember the woman that a few years ago at McDonald's that got a hot cup of coffee, burned herself, and wound up, I think, a millionaire over that? Well, I want to tell you something. That woman was an idiot, because you buy a cup of coffee, you know it's hot. Well, I tell you one thing, you'll know it now, because you go to McDonald's and buy a cup of coffee, it says hot. And it's rolled all over it. And so is everybody else. You go buy a hair dryer, and you know what? You got that little tag on there that says don't use this in the shower. And you say, man, that's stupid. Anybody knows better than that. If they didn't put that on there, they'd be open for a lawsuit. You go buy a woodworking tool, and that thing says don't do this, don't do that. Always wear safety glasses and do this and that. And you look at it, and you say, man, how dumb do they think I am? Well, they may not think you're dumb, but somebody is, and they'll sue over it because they're covetous. That's how they make their living. They're covetous, but they won't work. They want it from everybody else. Paul said, them folks ain't going. He said, the drunkard ain't going. Not too many drunkards in the world today. They're all alcoholics. But they still ain't going. A drunkard and an alcoholic, as far as I'm concerned, same thing. No, preacher, alcoholism's a disease. The only people that's got that disease is the drunkard. You know, listen, I've never had a problem with that disease. It's not a contagious disease. I can shake hands with an alcoholic. I don't have to worry about catching his disease. The only way I can catch his disease is by drinking out of his bottle. and I'm not going to do that, so I'm not going to have to worry about becoming an alcoholic or a drunkard, as the Bible says, and that's more of the definition of it, a drunkard. Listen, these people sitting around today, that they're drunks. That's all they want to do is drink. They just want to be drunk, have a big party. But you say you need to get saved. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven. You're not on your way to heaven. Listen, people are falling away. You know why they're falling away? Because God's people in the church that should be standing up and telling these people, you're wrong. Your sin is wrong. It's as wrong as it ever was. But we've put a seal of approval on most of it today, and we try to just uphold them and say it's okay. God understands. I want to tell you something. God don't understand as much as you might think He does. If you're approving of these actions, these things that's going on, you're as bad as the person that's doing it. You say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a church member. You're not much of a Christian if you're not standing up against these sinful things. Paul's talking about people that are not going to heaven, and you're saying, well, my family's like that, but they're going because they're my family. You won't find that in the Bible anywhere. People that are going to heaven are going because that they have been saved by grace. They have been bought by the blood of Jesus, and they have faith to believe that the grace of God can save them. And they come, the Bible said, to come and confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. And that's the only way you're going to get there. You cannot get to heaven by being born into some earthly family where everybody goes to church. It's not going to ever work. And then he said, no revilers. You know what that word means? I looked it up, and you can't find it in Webster's dictionary because it's not in there. I had to dig a little deeper, and I'm still not sure I got it all exactly right, but best that I can determine from what I've read in the Bible and what I've read other places, a reviler is somebody that's quarrelsome or contentious. You know anybody like that? A quarrelsome, contentious person. And I know some of these. I'm sorry to say, and I'm ashamed to say, I used to be like that. I'd argue with the fence post, because I always get the last word in. And then one day I woke up, I said, preacher, you ain't right. And then I had to get on my face and say, God, I ain't right. Listen, God needs a lot of folks today that has fallen away to come back and get on their face before Him and say, I've got sin in my life. And listen, it's not adultery, fornication. It's not drunkenness. It's not thieving. But if you're one of these revilers and you want to argue with everybody about everything that comes down the pipe, I want to tell you, Paul here, he said, you're not going. Wait a minute, preacher, that's me. You better get something took care of then. He said, revilers ain't going. Listen, I try not to argue with anybody. I mean, I used to. I loved to argue. I did. I mean, I had a point I wanted to prove. And I was going to prove it, whether it's right or wrong. Didn't make no difference. You're going to listen to my opinion, and I'll listen to yours, but I'm not going to really pay attention to it because I'm the one that's right here. I didn't know if I was right or not. I didn't really care. And I'm ashamed of that. I really am. But you see, the thing about it is I woke up one day and realized how I am. I'm not a bad person, but I just got to always be right. I'm not right anymore. I read, I believe John Wesley, he said, when I first started out, I thought I knew everything. Then after a little while, I figured out I didn't know anything. And he said, now after 40 or 50 years, I figured out I know something, but I don't know a whole lot about anything. That's kind of where I'm at. I know enough to get by, but I'm not right all the time. And I'm not going to argue. If you think you are, I'm not going to argue with you. Because it's a sin. And Paul said it's a sin. And he said, if you're like that, you're not going. Was you saved, preacher? Yeah, I was saved, but I'd fallen away. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. We fall away and we don't even realize that we have fallen. And then one day we just stop and take a good hard look at ourselves and you say, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." And you got to crawl to Jesus and He'll help you get up. Listen, Paul said these revilers are not going. Extortioners. They're about in the same category as a thief. They're not going. And he said, these people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I know people that will argue about stuff that you know good and well they don't know nothing about. They don't even know what they're talking about. And they'll scream right in your ear. Just don't tell you something you need to get right. I remember a man telling me one time. He said, he showed me a house. He said, that house been in 3 states. It ain't never been moved. I said, ain't no way. Yep, it was. And he told me how. And I said, no, it ain't right. If that was right, I'd have learned that in history class. There's a lot of things you didn't learn in history class. And I got in an argument with this guy about this. He knew what he's talking about. I didn't. I just thought I did. And you know something? I feel so bad about it. Even today, I think, man, how stupid was I to argue with a man that knew what he was talking about? And I didn't, but I still trying to prove my point that I was right and I didn't even know what I was talking about. Listen, people, I'm going to tell you something. You know what that is? It's falling away. And Paul said up here, he said, that day cannot come except there first come a falling away. And I've always said I don't want to be a part of that falling away. And then I woke up one day and realized I'm right in the middle of it. I'm glad, thanks to God, that I got out of it. I don't want to be in that falling away number. I don't want to be in those that has fallen away from God. I don't want to be in those that have fallen away from the Spirit of God, the leadership of God, the guiding hand of God. I don't want to be a part of that number. I want to be a part of those that are, the song said, when the saints go marching in, I want to be able to hold my head up, throw my shoulders back and march in like I got something to get me through the gate. Listen, I want to be in that number. When the saints are called out, I want to be in that number. I don't want to be in this number of all these folks that the Bible said is not going. Said, preacher, some of them things you read, I'm guilty of, but I'm saved. Well, you better get your heart right with God. That's all I can tell you. Listen, the Bible goes on. Paul went on. He said, and such were some of you. Talking to that Corinthian church, he said, y'all was like this one time. He said, there was a time when that was you, you and you and you. He said, y'all was like this. But he said, but you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm glad that God can justify and sanctify. He can save. And Paul said, these that I mentioned, y'all was some of them. But now you've been saved by God's marvelous grace. And He has justified you and brought you out of your sins. And you're not like that anymore. You're not one of them anymore. Listen, I know a lot of people in churches today that are just as guilty. I know people that's guilty of just about every one of these things. And they go to church just about every week. Some of them sings in the choir. Oh, how I love Jesus. And they're guilty of every one of these things that I mentioned. I want to tell you something. I don't want to be guilty of all of them. I don't even want to be guilty of any of them. I got enough problems without all this. But these folks that are guilty, and they're going to stay guilty because they won't admit they're guilty. They'll never confess they're guilty. They'll never confess they've got a problem. And they have fallen away. And they're not coming back because they won't admit that they've fallen. You'd be kind of silly if I walked out the door this afternoon after church and find you laying on your face. Say, you need help getting up. You say, no, I ain't falling. Okay, just lay there then. And that's what people spiritually have done. Do you need a hand? Ain't nothing wrong with me. Do you need help? Nothing wrong with me. You need prayer? Nothing wrong with me. You want me to help you up and hold you up a little bit? Nothing wrong with me. And you know what? We say that and there's something wrong with us. I tell you something, we need to do some soul searching, some heart searching. We need to realize that what the Bible says, and what the Bible says, the Bible means. It means just exactly what it says. And it don't beat around the bush about it, and I'm not either this morning. Listen, I'm not beating around the bush, I'm trying to be plain. You may say, "Preacher, I didn't understand what you said." Well, you need an English lesson, because I'm being pretty plain today. He goes on here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." What old thing passed away? Your revilings and your adulteries, your fornication, your drunkenness, and all these other things. They've all, if you're saved by God's grace, they should be gone away behind you. And you shouldn't even be able to see them anymore. And you certainly shouldn't be looking for them anymore. Listen, Paul, he used all these things. He said to these people, "You all used to be like that." But you know, the problem is when people think they used to be like that, but really they still are like that. And they won't admit it. Listen, old things pass away when you get saved. I remember as a boy, and I've said this before, I remember coming out of the house one Sunday morning. Had my little zip-up Bible under my arm, all dressed up, had my little shirt and tie on. I was going to Sunday school. My cousins lived next door to us and half the neighborhood in my yard playing. And I asked Dad, "Could I stay at home?" And he said no. But I want to tell you something. That Wednesday night, my mama drove me to church. My dad was at work, but she took me anyway. And I got saved that night. And I tell you, I never walked out of that house again and asked, "Can I stay at home?" Listen, God did something to me. He changed my heart. He changed my desire. He changed my walk too. He made a different person out of me. He made a new creature out of me. And old things had passed away. All I knew was I was saved and on my way to heaven. I'd be out in the yard playing. I'd get in my swing. And I declare, I believe it was as high as this ceiling. Biggest swing set I ever saw. My dad made it. Anchored it to the ground where it wouldn't turn over and said, "Now go swing." And I did, buddy. I wasn't afraid of it. I'd swing. I've tried my best all my life to get over the bar. Never made it, but I was trying. Singing at the cross, where I first saw the light. The burdens of my soul all rolled away. It was there by great chance I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Listen, God will make a new person out of you. But listen, this falling away, and I'm talking about, it's people that have been saved. You say, "Preacher, I've been saved," but you may be falling away, and you need to stop and look and make certain where you are. If you're not in the same place with the Lord as you were this time last year, you've fallen away. You're slipping. There's no room for slipping. We don't need to be slipping. We need to be keeping up. I know when I was a little boy, I'd try to follow my dad. He'd take one step to my two. A little hard to keep up, but if I fell behind, I'd triple step to catch up with him. That's the way we need to be with the Lord this morning. We need to just try to keep up with him and walk with him and talk with him and let him know that we love him. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." That's what we're talking about. Those that have fallen away. He said they've departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. He said in that last day, listen, in the last times, some are going to depart from the faith. You know what people today, what I see a lot in the church? I love the church hymn books. I love the old hymns. I've heard them for so many years. Over 60 years, I've heard the old hymns. But you know something? I'm not tired of them. Isn't that amazing? You ever go when I remember when 8-track players first came out, and I went and bought one. I didn't buy one when they first came out. I bought them when the after cassette started coming out and 8-tracks got cheap. That's the only time I could afford one. And I went and bought me 2 or 3 8-tracks. You put that in and it just play around. You put that thing in there, it play from here to California and you never have to touch it. And I thought, boy, I'll never get tired of that tape. I'd listen to that thing leaving Knoxville. Time I got to Dallas, I was ready to throw it out the window. I'd heard it so many times, I'd memorized every song on it. I didn't want to hear it anymore. I was tired of it, but I come to church and they sang Amazing Grace. It never grows old. They sang the old rugged cross. I never get tired of it. They sang A Fountain Filled with Blood, and I still enjoy it today as much as I did the first time that I ever heard it. These old songs that the Christians never get tired of, but a lot of our modern day churches have thrown the hymn books away, and they're bringing in the rock and roll and the charismatic junk that I wouldn't walk anywhere to hear it. And if I was somewhere where they was playing it, I'd get up and walk away. I despise that stuff, but that's what our churches are going to, and they can't see that they're falling away. One person told me, said, them old songs you like to listen to, there was a time when they was new song and people didn't accept them either. I said, they've been accepted for a lot of years, and they'll be accepted for a lot more years. And I'll accept them if everybody else in the world gets rid of them. I'll never quit singing them. People try to justify their actions. They want to justify their deeds with some kind of an excuse. But I want to tell you something. If you've fallen away, the only thing you can do is get back up and get on your feet and get after Jesus. Why are they departing? Paul said in the last days, time would come, people would depart from the faith. Why are they departing? They've taken their eyes off the Lord. And when you take your eyes off Jesus, the devil is going to come in and take another advantage of you. That's why. And we're living in a day of falling away. Preachers nowadays, a lot of them not preaching right. Teachers not teaching right. Singers don't sing the right kind of songs. And people don't witness right. We want to justify everybody's sins to make them feel good. And all you're doing is giving a pat on the back and a welcome to hell when you get there. We need to stand up and let our voice be heard. Preacher, you think it's right to stand up and say anything? Well, they'll stand up and say something. They don't care. People stand up and say anything to anybody. From the president right on down. They don't care who they're speaking to. They're disrespectful to the whole world. They'll express their opinion. They're offended at everything that I do and you do. And yet we sit back and bite our tongue so we don't say nothing. We wouldn't want to offend anybody. Well, they're offending me. I'll tell you something. If I cut loose and started telling the world what I'm offended at, I never would get done. People offended at my American flag. Go back where you came from. Amen. I'm telling you something. That flag means something to me. A lot of blood shed to ensure that we keep that flag. This Bible, a lot of people are offended at it. Then go back where you come from. Obviously, they didn't have it there. So go home. I'm telling you something. The Word of God, there's been a lot of people died for that. I believe it's Queen Mary had a gallows built that she could hang like 20 or 30 people at a time on it. And they was all Christians. They was all people that was preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. And they gave their life so that you and I could have this precious Word of God that we've got. And it offends somebody. You can stay offended for all I care. Paul went on here in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Man, we're there. You know, people nowadays, they don't want to hear sound doctrine. You get up and preach, and I tell you, I preach like this in a lot of churches. I won't say most, but probably most, but I say a lot. And they'd already be people clearing out. Man, I've had people get up and walk out on me while I was preaching. One woman got up one night at church I was preaching at, got up and grabbed her little girl by the hand and took off up the middle aisle, had on a pair of beads that hung down to her waist. She grabbed them things and went out of the church swinging them beads and dragging that kid. Child didn't even have time to get her feet under. She's leaving so fast. Does that bother you? No, it don't. I mean, it bothers me that people are that scared of the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. Did it make me want to stop preaching? No, I just preach it that much harder. I don't care if anybody likes it. I really don't. I mean, I want people to like it, but if they don't, it's their problem. It's something between them and God and not me and them. He said there's time coming they won't endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Well, that word right there, you find it all over the place. People lust. Children of Israel went lusting for the things of Egypt. Caused them all kinds of problems. People lust, lust, lust. All through the Word of God, you find that word, lust. Paul said here, he said the people, they are after their own lust. They heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. They want to have their ears tickled by somebody that's going to say something good. People want to be told how good they are. I wish I could tell people how good they are, but they're all just like me. And we're not all that good. Me included, I'm not. Listen, you can't tell me how good I am because I know you're fibbing to me. I'm not good. What I have in my heart is good. Jesus is good. I try to be good, but I don't tell you. The rich man came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do?" And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good." So how could I stand here today after Jesus said there's none good? How can I stand here and say I'm good? That's contrary to the Word of God. But these people, that's what they want to hear. They heaped themselves teachers. Give me somebody that will tell me what I want to hear. Tell us, get me somebody that can really pump me up. I had one man said, "Preacher, I like you and everything, but I got to go to a more uplifting church. I need to be lifted." I said, "Man, you can't find a more uplifting church than this one." But he said, "I got to go somewhere where they're going to lift me up. Tell me what a good person I am." I want to tell you something. I'm just going to preach the truth. Paul said the day is coming when they're not going to endure that. They're not going to want that. They're just not going to listen. And he said they'd have itching ears. You know what people with itching ears, they want to be scratched. Yeah. My little old dog, boy, sometimes she comes and she'd get right up against you. She wants you to scratch her ears. Yeah. That's the way they do. And they church members like that too. "Come on, preacher, scratch my ears, they're itching." Hey, you might have to go somewhere else for that. He said, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth." Have you ever seen a day and time like we're living in today when people are so afraid of the truth? Pilate said to Jesus, "What is the truth?" The truth was standing right in front of Pilate, looking him right eyeball to eyeball, and Pilate said, "What is the truth?" Jesus is the truth. And Paul said that there was coming a day when they turned their ears from the truth. What is the truth, Jesus? What did he say in 14th chapter of John? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that's what Paul said. There's coming a day when they're going to turn away from that. They don't want the truth anymore. And they'll be turned into fables. You know what that is? These people that they're like they was on Mars Hill when Paul went in. They said had an inscription on the sign said to the unknown God. He said, "That's what I want to talk to you about. That God that you don't know. You know all the rest of these." They stood around all day long to do nothing but tell and hear some new thing. That's where we're at today. I'm telling you, people, they'll listen to any kind of fable that comes down the pike. You don't have to be saved anymore. You just got to shake the preacher's hand and you're on your way to heaven. That's a lie. You just sign this little card and you're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to hell just like you was before you signed it. But that's what people want to hear. And they'll ride that right off into hell. Some of these folks may be saved, but they've fallen away. They've fallen away from what they were, and now they want somebody to justify them in their sin. And I tell you, there's no justification in sin except through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get your sin justified, to get it forgiven and get it covered under the blood and get it out of the way. Some people never been saved, and they accept anything except the truth. I've preached to people before, and I preach the Word of God just as straight and just as true as I could preach it. And they said, one of those people said, "We want you to tell us how to get to heaven." I said, "I've been telling you, and I've been telling you, but you won't accept the truth. You won't accept what the Word of God says." Listen, these folks, they ain't never going to make it to heaven because they won't accept the truth. They'll accept anything except what is right. I tell you, I got family members like that. I think my grandchildren somewhat like that. They want to hear something good, but they don't want to hear me preach because they know what I preach is the truth, and it might set them on fire. They don't want to hear that. A lot of times these are children of God who've fallen away. And we're patting them on the back and telling them everything's okay. I want to tell you something. If you've got sin in your life, you're not okay. Lost or saved, if you've got sin in your life, and you're living a sinful life, you are not okay. And you are not ever going to be okay till you come and get forgiveness from God. You're never going to be okay till you get this thing covered under the blood. You're never going to be okay until you get back up where you've fallen and start walking with Jesus. I want to tell you something. We're not living in a time when there's any room to stop or any room to stand still. We got to keep moving. This thing's coming to a close. And I tell you something, if you knew that you was marching in a group that's going to heaven, would you want to get behind? Not me. I don't want to be behind. I want to be up in the middle of that group or out in the front of it. When they get to the pearly gates, I want to be with them. I don't want to be dragging behind somewhere. You ever see these documentaries on TV where the buffalo or the deer or the elk is crossing to Africa? And the lions are laying there waiting. What did Peter say? Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this whole herd can walk by and that lion never flinch. And then here comes the straggler. He's all by himself. And that lion stands up and said, "That one's mine." Listen, I don't want to be the straggler. I don't want the devil to stand up and say, "That one is mine. I'll get that one because he's all by himself." Listen, there's safety in numbers. I want to be in the group. I want to be in the fellowship. I want to be in with God's people. I want to be in the ones that's doing right. And listen, I tell you something. Like I said, this whole thing, I guess, just to make a point that if you've got loved ones, some of us justify our parents. Some of us justify our children, our grandchildren, our grandparents. We justify our friends, our neighbors, and they say, "Well, I don't go to church, but I live a pretty good life." And you say, "Well, I guess you're all right." You're not all right. See, you know what the problem is? You have apparently fallen away because used to, you would have told them, "You're not all right. You need to be saved." How many times has people told me, "Preacher, I don't do nothing wrong"? Well, that's a lie, because I don't know anybody that don't do nothing wrong. But what they're saying is, and I've even had them say this, "I'm a good neighbor." Well, that's good. There's a lot of good neighbors in hell. That's where good neighbors go. Not where Christians go, but it's where good neighbors go. Good neighbors are on the way to hell. Good moms and dads are on the way to hell. Good children are on their way to hell. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, bought by the blood of Jesus, you're on your way to hell. And you've got to get turned around. And you need God's people, the ones that has not fallen yet, to tell you Listen, I'd rather tell somebody the truth and make you say, well, they get mad at me. Let them get mad. What if they got saved? I tell you, we need to be telling people, but we've fallen. And we just waller in our own weakness or something. And I tell you, there's a falling away in our churches today. And that's the message. Sister Carol, come to the piano. Father, we thank you for giving us another privilege to stand today. Lord, I thank you for the message. God, I ask you just to help people to get it in their heads this morning and in their hearts what we're trying to say to them today. Lord, you've been wrestling with me about this for 2 or 3 days, and you brought me to the point that I realized, God, that I might need to move up. And Lord, I have talked to you, and God, this hit me before it hit them. Lord, I ask you just to touch every heart in here this morning. God, help us all that we just find peace and mercy and grace at the cross. Lord, help us this morning, Father, during the invitation. Convict some soul today, Lord, lost or saved. God, if they've fallen away, bring conviction. In Jesus' name, amen. While we stand this morning, while we sing, would you come? Have you fallen today? Why don't you get up, come to Jesus, dust yourself off, start over.